So first, I will recall the context. I was considering X, a compact scalar manifold. With dimension k and a meromorphic map on X. And I will always assume that this map is dominant, which means that the Jacobian of F is not identically equal to zero. So last time I introduced some dynamical quantities. So there was the dynamical degrees first. So you have k plus 1 dynamical degrees and it looks like this. You have a concavity. So it's increasing to a top ds. And after it's decreasing. And dk is a topological degree of the map. And very roughly speaking, I explain that dl is more or less the spectral radius of the axiom or F star on the cohomology. Okay, so this is the first dynamical quantity. The second one was the topological entropy. And we saw that this is bounded by above by the maximum of the logarithm of the dynamical degrees. So the metric entropy, which is smaller than the topological entropy. And at the end, we saw the Lyapunov exponent. And I explained that this Lyapunov exponent describes the dynamics of the map. So let me just record a fact for this Lyapunov exponent. There is the definition comes from a theorem due to Seledec, and after I explain the Plessin's theory. And just remember that Plessin's theory gives you that if you take X generic for the measure that you consider, when you consider the orbit of X, at each step, there are linear subspaces, like that. And you can consider that F is linear locally. And is given by the Lyapunov exponent. It means that in this direction, the derivatives are given by E key I. So you can see that this is something like that, roughly speaking. If you take the good coordinates given by the EI, then in each EI, the action of F is given by E key I, this multiplication. This is roughly speaking. If you want to have something true, you have to use a perturbation of this and to control the mistake, but it's the idea.
So you're assuming that all the Lyapunov exponents are not zero, right?
No, it can mean zero, yes, in this case. Okay, so today I would like to give some link between these quantities. If it's zero, for example, you can have a rotation or something like that, or identity in some direction. So the first link between these quantities is the Ruel's inequality, which is the following. You take mu, an ergodic probability, so that the Lyapunov exponents are defined. So I explained that means that you have an integrability condition, which is the following. So C is the critical set, and I the indeterminacy set. The set of points where F is not holomorphic. When you have this, you have your Lyapunov exponents, and the real inequality is the following. The sum of the positive Lyapunov exponents is higher than the metric entropy. So Ki plus is the maximum of Ki and zero. So this is the Ruel's inequality. So here I would like to give the idea of this proof, this theorem, because after I will use it again to prove atabulicity of some measure for meromorphic map.
Is it true just because you're in a complex set?
Exactly. If I consider that I have K, the Lyapunov exponent, because I have a complex manifold of dimension K, if you want real dynamics, you have 2K Lyapunov exponents. So the 2 comes from the fact that I consider complex manifold. Okay. So first, I will assume that the dimension is equal to 2 to simplify. So I have only 2 Lyapunov exponents. And let me recall that the metric entropy is defined by this, which is a supremum of the lim inf of this. It's true for mu almost every x. And bn x delta is the Bowen ball with center x and reduced delta for the dynamical distance, I recall, which is the maximum of the distance between the iterates. Okay. Oui, yes. Thank you. So this is the definition of the metric entropy. And so it means that if you take, it is mu, if you take a dynamical ball, then the mass for nu is almost E minus the metric entropy times N. If you take X generic, you have this. So you have this estimate. I say that it implies that we can find the n delta separated set with cardinality E symmetric entropy times N, and such that the points of this set are good for the Pessin theory, for Osseledeck theorem and Pessin theory. Okay. To be good for Osseledeck theorem or Pessin theory is true on a set of mass 1. This is generic for the measure. So how I can construct such an eta separated set? It's easy. I take a point in lambda. I have the dynamical ball around. And the mass of this ball is very small. This is this. So, of course, I can find a second point outside, x2, outside the ball. And because this is outside the ball, the distance for distance n between x1 and x2 is higher than delta, because x2 is outside the ball of center x1 and reduce delta. Now, if you take these two balls, the mass of these two balls is smaller than two times this, though this is very small, so I can find a point x3 outside, and I have a dynamical ball, and I continue. At the end, I can find 1 divided by this, so this number of points x I which are in lambda. So these points are n delta separated, which means I record that the distance between two points is higher than delta. At each step, I take the point outside the previous point. Okay. So now I have a number of points more or less equal to this, and I will apply the Osseledeck theorem and Pessin theory to these points. One of them. So you can distinguish two cases. If Q1 is strictly higher than Q2, and if Q1 is equal to Q2, Q1 and Q2 are the Lyapunov exponents. So here you have two complex directions. E1 and E2, and I recall that when you take a unit vector, the differential is more or less equal to EQ1N if you take V in E1, and more or less equal to EQ2N if V is in E2. And here you have only one Lyapunov exponent, which means that there is only one linear subspace, which is the tangent space, and it means that the differential is equal to this when you take a unit vector. Okay, so this is the situation. So now I will take, in both cases, a box so this is like this. Here it will be of size this. Here the size will be this. So of course, when you have two Lyapunov exponents which are equal, it's not a box but a square, but you take the same one. So I recall that Q1 plus is the maximum of Q1 and 0, and it's the same for Q2. And now I will push forward these boxes and use the Pessin theory. So I start with this box. So this E1, E2. So the first step, you are here. You have the image of the box, so I suppose more or less that F is linear, to simplify. And you know you have two linear species, E1, E2, sorry, F of X, and E1. And you know that when you consider the direction E1, the differential here is given by EQ1, and for the second one is given by EQ2. So now the size of the box is E minus Q2 plus N minus epsilon N plus Q2, because on the direction E2 you multiply by EQ2, and the other one you multiply by EQ1, so it's E minus Q1 plus N minus epsilon N plus Q1. You multiply by EQ2 on the direction E2 and by EQ1 on the direction E1. And you continue. So, perhaps we continue here. You arrive on F2 of X. You have two directions, E2 and E1. You multiply by EQ1 on the direction E1 and by EQ2 on the direction E2. So now the size of the box is the following. Here it's E minus this plus 2Q2, and here this is this plus 2Q1. And you continue. So for example, you arrive on F of X, you have a box with size here this, so plus M P2, and here this. And you finished with Fn of X. With a box of size what you think, so this is this, plus NP2, and here plus NQ1. Okay, at each step I multiply by EQ1 on E1 and by EQ2 on Q2, and I suppose more or less that F is linear at each step. Okay, so this is Pessin theory applied to this point. The main remark is that the diameter of the iterates of these boxes, so Perhaps I will call this box B of X. It's smaller than this. For M equal to 0 to N. Why? Because you know the size of these boxes at each step. So you have to see that this size is small. But for example, if you take this, you have to see that this is smaller than zero. And in fact, this is true because you can do like this if you want. Plus Q1 plus minus N. I think this is this. Yes. And this is non-positive because Q1 plus is higher than Q1, because Q1 plus is the maximum between Q1 and 0. And this is non-positive because this is positive, positive, and you have a minus. Okay, so this is smaller than this, smaller than this. And it's the same for the other direction. So the size of the box is very small. You have this. Okay, so as I summarize the situation, I have points with n equal to this. I have boxes around each point. The size of the boxes is this and this for each box. And the diameter, yes? N, capital N, the number of points that I construct. And the diameter of Fn of Bxi is smaller than this if I between 1 and capital N, and N between 0 and N. This is the situation. To finish, you have to do a crucial remark, which is that these boxes have no intersection. So why this is true? And after we do a computation of volume, right, we give immediately the realized inequality. But first, I would like to prove that. So why these boxes have no intersection? So to see that, we have to remember that the distance between xi and xj is higher than delta. So it means that there is a step where the distance between Fm of xi and Fm of xj is higher than delta. So there is, these points are far, in some sense, from each other. So you have Fm of xi, Fm of xj, and here the distance is higher than delta. And now you look Fm of the box, bxi, it's here. Here you have Fm of bxj, and I explained that the diameter of these boxes is very small. So the distance here is delta or higher. These boxes are very small, so you can't have an intersection between these two sets. There's no intersection here. So of course, because you have no intersection here, you have no intersection here. And I prove that these boxes are, have no intersection. Now, to finish, I will do only the calculus of Biot-Liou, because the volume of x, so say it's equal to 1, is higher than the volume of the union of these boxes. These boxes have no intersection, so it's higher, it's equal to n, it's this, times the volume of each boxes, and it's easy to compute the volume, so it's the exponential minus 2 pi plus n, minus, I don't know, 4 epsilon n. So you see that I'm using that, C on a complex manifold here, because if I was on a real manifold, for the volume, there would be only a 1 here. And it's finished because we have that, which means exactly that 2 key 1 plus plus 2 key 2 plus is higher than the metric entropy. Okay. And it's the Rouleau's inequality. No. It's exactly the same proof. You have to work to have Pessin theory. But if you have Pessin theory or Seldes theorem, it's the same proof. Okay. So this is the first link between these dynamical quantities. And after I will give another one. So first, perhaps I'll come back to general context. So I have a neuromorphic map on a compact scalar manifold. I have the dynamical degrees, which look like that. And when I have a measure, its entropy is smaller than the topological entropy of the map, which is smaller than the maximum of the logarithm of the dynamical degree, so log ds. So this is the situation. The main goal in complex, one of the main goals in complex dynamics, is to construct measure mu with, so we said, with full entropy. So construct measure mu with metric entropy equal to log ds. So Eric explained me the terminology. So when we have a measure with entropy equal to topological entropy, we could say maximal entropy, but here I would like with equal to the maximal value possible, and I will say full entropy. Okay, this is the main cause. Unfortunately, this is not always possible. In fact, there are examples with no topological entropy. This is not always possible. So now I would like to give an example you to gauge, where the, in fact, the topological entropy will be equal to zero, and here it will be a positive quantity. So the situation where the goal is not possible. The example is the following. It's completely explicit. So I'm in CP2. And I take this map, so V, D, I take this map. So the line T equal to zero is totally invariant. And I take this line as a line at infinity. Which means that I look my map as a map of C2 in C2, which is the following. So the line at infinity is T equal to zero. So I divide. And so it's ZW gives Z for D. And W plus 1. This is the same map. I took a chart. So the picture is the following. Here it's T equal to 0. Here it's C2. Now, if you take a point here, and you take the iterates with this map, you see that here, it's only a translation. So you add one at each step. So of course, so this point, you add one. The points, the orbit goes to infinity. So in fact, all the dynamics goes to T equal to zero. You start with a point, you add one on the second coordinate at each step, and you obtain infinity. Okay, this is the first remark. All the dynamics goes to infinity. So now, I would like to see what happens on the line at infinity. So first, I can compute the determinacy set. It's not difficult. I have to see where these polynomials are equal to zero. So you have z equal to zero, t equal to zero, what we want here. So this is 0, 1, 0. This point. And now if you take a point here on t equal to zero but not an indeterminacy point, so we have t equal to zero here, so you obtain 0, 0 and something, so you obtain the point 1, 0, 0. Which is this point. So the situation is the following. All the dynamics goes to the line infinity. On the line at infinity there is IF, a point, but all the other points goes here. So all the dynamics goes to two points. Leibniz to IF and this one. And in fact, a dynamical system like that means that if all orbits go to only a finite number of points, then this dynamical system is not chaotic, which is an obvious, in some sense, dynamical system, and so there is no topological entropy. I explained that if the entropy is high, it means that the system is very chaotic, you have a lot of chaos. So if the limit points are only 2 points or 3, or I don't know, you have no topological entropy.
In this example, if you change P2 to P1
versus P1. This, you have topological entropy. It means that the entropy is not a birational invariant. And you can ask, all the dynamics goes here, but if you grab this point, what happens? Okay. So what happens here? So first, the dynamical degrees. So you have U not equal to 1. And you can see that D1 equal to D2 equal to D in this case. It's just a calculus. So what happens, in fact, you have two dynamical degrees which are equal and which are higher than the others. In this case, in fact, so when you have something like that, you have problem. It means that you have examples with no topological entropy. So if you want a general result of construction of measure with full entropy, in fact, it's necessary to assume that we are not in this situation. So we assume that there is a dynamical degree which is strictly higher than the other. It means, in some sense, that we are hyperbolic in cohomology. There is a direction in cohomology, a cohomology group which is strictly stronger than the others. Okay, so for example, this is true in a lot of dynamical systems. You take holomorphic endomorphism of CPK. We saw that the dynamical degree looks like this. So in this case, it is the last one, which is strictly higher than the other. So this is an example, but there are a lot of examples. So in fact, here I will assume this hypothesis in order to construct measure of maximal entropy. In this context, there is a conjecture. The main question is the following. So in this context here, due to Friedland and Gage, the conjecture is there exists a measure ergodic mu with full entropy. So it means that. And the second part is this measure is hyperbolic. So hyperbolic, I recall, it means that the Lyapunov exponents are not equal to zero. There are a lot of non-cases where this conjecture is true, so I have the time to give all the non-cases, but I would like to give two of them. This is known for inner maps. For inner maps, but for the field beach and smiley. Construct the measure of maximal entropy, full entropy, and proves that this measure is hyperbolic. In fact, you have a saddle measure in this case, which means that you have a direction with expansion and direction with contraction. This is true for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK. Fornes and Tibonis construct the measure of maximal entropy. And Brian Duval proves that this measure is hyperbolic. And for this endomorphism, the dynamics is you have expansion, something like that. But to take a generic point for the measure, you have expansion in all directions. So here it means saddle, I'll call that there is a positive Lyapunov exponent and there is a negative Lyapunov exponent. Here, okay, I take CP2 to simplify. There is two positive Lyapunov exponents. Of course, there are other cases, like for example by Diller, Bedford, Dujardin, Guest, and others, where you have this conjecture which is true. So, in fact, today I would like to explain that in this conjecture, the second part is true in all generalities. Because you have the following theorem. So, the second part is true. It means that if you have the measure of maximal entropy, then automatically this measure is hyperbolic. Means if you have mu, a measure hyperbolic with metric entropy equal to log ds, if you know that the Lyapunov exponent are well defined, it's necessary to speak about Lyapunov exponents, in fact. So if the Lyapunov exponents are defined, I recall that it means this. Then the measure is hyperbolic. And more precisely, you have estimates. More precisely, you know the number of positive and the number of negative Lyapunov exponents. And it's given by the cohomology. So, you have these estimates. You have S positive Lyapunov exponent with this bound. And K minus S negative Lyapunov exponent with this bound. Which means that you have S direction with expansion. And K minus S direction with contraction. And of course, the S is higher than the W. And these bones are sharp. So, for example, for inner mass, in fact, this is Z1, which is the highest. You see that, you find again that the measure is hyperbolic and you have one positive and one negative Lyapunov exponent. You take CP2, this is V2, which is higher, of all. So S equal to 2, and you obtain two positive Lyapunov exponents, and you find again the Brian-Duval theorem. And in fact, you can use this theorem in a lot of situations where we know that you have a measure of maximum phi, but we didn't know that this measure was hyperbolic. For example, you take the automorphism on compact Keeler manifold, then Dean and Siboney construct the measure of maximal entropy, and if you apply this, you obtain its hyperbolicity. Okay. That's just a remark, and after we begin the proof in a special case. The remark is that, in fact, this theorem is a corollary. It's a corollary of general inequalities. Which link the metric entropy, which mu like that, the dynamical degrees, and the Lyapunov exponent. There are general inequalities which link these three quantities. If you remember where is inequality, it's the link between h mu and the ki. And in fact, the Ruel's equality is included in these inequalities here. It contains the Ruel's inequalities. Okay, but I don't want to give these inequalities because it's too technical. And okay. Yes?
So, dropping that on the subject on Jasper, are you always allowed to? Can you always try to find those kind of bound for the Lyapunov exponents in terms of the dynamical degree?
Yes, it's a...
That's a general thing?
Yes. You have, if you have the measure of maximum, full entropy, log ds, and if you have... you suppose this, there is a dynamical degree.
No, yeah, that's my point. If you drop that condition, just in general, can you sort of have these kind of bounds
for a measure?
For the Lyapunov exponents in terms of dynamical degree. You have like more general relations.
Yes, yeah. There are. Yeah. You take a measure, a general measure. In fact, here it's for an ergodic measure.
Yeah.
Take what you want. You have the DIs and the KIs. Mm-hmm. It's not for the measure of maximum entropy. Like inequality is true for every ergodic measure. So these inequalities are true for every ergodic measure. And of course, you can apply to measure of maximal entropy and you obtain this exactly. Okay, so in this talk and in the next one, I would like to give the idea of this proof. I will take a very simplified situation. I will take the dimension 2. So I begin today, but I will do a first part because there are in fact two cases. I will do the easiest. So in dimension 2, I suppose that there is a dynamical degree strictly higher than the other. So you have two cases. The first one is this one, and the second one is this. Okay. So here, S equal to 1, K equal to 2, K is the dimension, S equal to 1. So you have a measure with entropy log d1, and you want to prove that q1 is equal to 1, so q1 is higher than 1 half of log d1 on d0, 0 is equal to 1, but I put it, and that q2 is smaller than d2 on d1, like that. Here it will be the next step, because it's really the new situation, in fact. But here I can solve this part by using Hoyle's inequality, and I suppose that f is invertible. So yes. So if it's higher than log d2, the measure is hyperbolic. But you have not the same estimate here. You have to change the bounds.
Okay.
The bounds depend on the entropy, and so it's hyperbolic. Yes, it's subtle. But and it's the same here. If you take only higher than, strictly higher than log d1 here, you have expansive measure. But the Lyapunov exponents are not given exactly by the same bound, because it depends on the entropy. Okay, so I will do the first case. So if you apply to Hoyle's inequality, you have this. New. So in particular, Q1 is positive. I call you have this, and Q1 plus is the maximum of Q1 and 0, so Q1 is positive. Now, I will suppose that F is invertible. If F is non-invertible, you have to use new ideas, and it could take too many times, so I will only in this case. So if you suppose that F is invertible, you can use Hoyle's inequality to F minus 1. And in fact, the metric entropy for the measure, it's a fact, is equal to the same entropy, log d1. This is the first point. The second point, I have to compute the Lyapunov exponents of f minus 1. And I say that the Lyapunov exponents of f minus 1 are the opposite, minus q2 and minus q1. Why? Because if you have expansion or contraction, for example, e q1 n in the future, for fn, it means that in the past, you have an action like that. So if you have a Lyapunov exponent equal to Q1 for F, it means that minus Q1 will be a Lyapunov exponent for F minus 1. So now I apply the Hoyle's inequality. I have so 2 minus this. Higher than the entropy of F minus 1. And this, so this is 0 because Q1 is positive, and it means that this is positive. So Q2 is negative. Okay, so now I have a saddle measure, and if I want the precise estimates, I have to apply again relative quality. So for F, I obtain that 2 P1 is higher than log P1 because Q2 plus is 0 because Q2 is negative, and Q1 plus is equal to Q1. So Q1 is higher than 1/2 of log V1, and this is exactly that I wanted, and because D not 0 is equal to 1. And for the other, I use Cruel's inequality for F minus 1 here, and I obtain that minus 2 Q2 is higher than log V1. So Q2 is smaller than 1/2 of log 1 over D1. Yes. And this is what I wanted because I would like this, but I suppose that F is invertible, so D2 is equal to 1. D2 is the topological degree. So I obtain the good inequality. Okay. So in the next talk, I will consider this case, and I will use new ID than relative inequality. Okay. And I stop for today.